The Expat Insider Survey ranks Denmark 53rd out of 53 countries in the subcategory of finding friends.
66% of people surveyed reported it challenging to make local friends in Denmark compared to the global average of 36.
Why is it more challenging to make friends with Danes, and what can you do about it? Today, we're going to talk about Danish culture, our own experiences, and some tips for making friends in Denmark to give you some answers. I'm Derek Hartman, and I've been living in Denmark since 2017, and you're listening to What Are You Doing in Denmark? The podcast that helps you make Denmark make sense.
I'm Annie Samples, and I've been living in Denmark since 2019, and making friends here has been challenging for both of us. So if you feel that too, you're not alone. And this episode is going to help you understand how to overcome the friendship challenge that we've all faced.
So we should start out maybe explaining the survey a little bit. So it's conducted by an organization called InterNations. And that's a group that is really established in a bunch of different countries to help people that are international living in new cities and new places to meet others and socialize. I've been to a few of their events in Copenhagen.
Oh, really?
Have you ever been?
No, I've never been. That's so interesting. I've never heard about it until this very moment. And I'm just kind of like laughing because I just was so clueless coming into this, like the entire situation of living in Denmark. I'd never heard any of these stats. I had just heard like, you're not going to make friends. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I guess, you know, it's interesting that statistically that is backed up with data.
Okay, perfect.
So yes. It's not just anecdotal.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be interesting to kind of dive into some of their data and share a little bit of our experiences. And, you know, there are some tips that can help you with that because somebody had to be 53rd in that category.
And I feel like going back to our like Jantelag episode, like Denmark's like,
yeah,
that's fine. It's okay. We can be less.
I think that maybe has some contributing factors as well.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, this survey was the 10th year of the survey, and over 12,000 people in these 53 countries were surveyed. And overall, Denmark ranked 51 out of 53.
Yikes.
But it really, I think it just is because of the categories. So, quality of life, ease of settling in, working abroad, personal finance, and the expat essentials are the categories. So, probably no surprise, like the working abroad, like the people love the work-life balance here.
Right. Yeah.
So in that way, they scored very
I'm
well.
I'm really surprised like working abroad didn't like up that a lot. And quality of life. Do people not like the quality of life here?
Well, I think those are probably the categories.
Redeeming ones.
Yeah,
okay.
I think those were like the redeeming ones. And then, but of course, like the personal finance, we know that it is more expensive. That quality of life isn't free.
Right. Fortunately.
And I think the settling in.
Yeah.
And I guess probably quality of life maybe bleeds into some of those other things as far as the ability to make friends and feel like you belong here.
Valid.
Because some other statistics that jumped out at me were 35% of those who responded from Denmark said that they had difficulty in acclimating. That's about twice the global average of 18%.
Yikes.
And 29% of people that responded stated they didn't feel at home in Denmark.
That's
a big part
sad.
Of it.
Yeah, I'm so curious, what are the expat essentials?
Yeah, so that
I'd like to know.
That was a lot of other things as far as like finding housing, which is probably also something that would be a little bit harder for the fact that most people who move to Denmark, many of them, of course, settle in Copenhagen. So there's a housing issue in Copenhagen, just like in a lot of Nordic capitals and other European capitals and big cities, really all around the world. So I think that could be some of the contributing factors.
Yeah, that makes sense.
On the friendship side, which is what we're going to focus on today, I think culture is a big part of that.
Yeah, right? And speaking of like ease of settling in and what have you, I think that Denmark is such a small country and there's such a certain way of doing things that a lot of Danes don't really even know what needs to be explained to us because they just know it as the way things are done and it makes sense. And so a lot of them don't know how to reach out and how to help us like flailing expats at times. And maybe we would see that as being good friends, you know?
Yeah, literally like a fish out of water flailing sometimes. Yeah, that's true. And I know you were on Good Morning Denmark talking about that a little bit recently.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember which time Good Morning. What was I talking about?
I think about some of the issues that people have settling and sort of some of the contributing
100%.
Things that contribute to that.
Yeah. So, you know, for me moving here as a mom, just like knowing what to do with my kids, knowing how to socialize my kids. My kids had no problem making friends, which is awesome. And like I said, I moved here just having the expectation of making no friends. But it would have been nice to have some, you know, like when I see this, the expat essentials as part of these categories, I'm like, oh, I wish I'd had like a binder of just like all of the information, like a Sherpa, you know, all of these things to just sort of hold my hand. And I'd love to be that person for somebody someday. And I hope that through the content that I make that I'm that. But I think it is so cozy to have like somebody that was born and raised here be able to walk you through that whole process as well. Cause you're like, oh, I'm getting the real deal. You
100%. Know? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think that's a lot of what people struggle with, and friends is part of that because of course settling in is easier when you have a friend, especially a local friend, a Danish friend who can tell you, oh, this is why we do this thing that maybe seems different.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But we all know it.
Yeah. And when you get the why behind it, that is so helpful.
And I think often when, you know, with my Danish friends, when we have these conversations, they usually say, I didn't even know that that was different. I didn't know.
Right.
I don't know if you've heard this, but I've had many Danish people say to me, I grew up thinking that the Danish flag was just the birthday flag and everybody put that flag out for their birthday.
That's hilarious. Isn't that funny? Oh my gosh, because, that's so sweet.
Yeah. And if you're listening and you're not familiar, the Danish flag, the Dannebrog, is beloved in Denmark, but it's also something that you decorate for your birthdays with or store sales and things like that. So
you see that thing everywhere, I must say.
But,
and I love it.
And I think that there's things like that that maybe once we understand it, it's no longer puzzling.
Exactly.
But
you can just sort of move on with your day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're like, okay, that makes sense. We're going. But speaking of the why do you think it is difficult to make friends, make Danish friends in Denmark?
I think a lot of it is culturally. So, of course, there's some nuances. Like you're competing with people's existing close friends.
Yeah.
So many Danes have a close group of friends that they grew up with. And you know, now that your kids are here, your boys are in school, the oldest ones, and they're probably going to have a lot of those friends forever.
Yeah, I love that for them. When people ask me why I think it's hard to make friends in Denmark, I'm like, I know exactly why. I'm seeing it firsthand. And I think that the system in place is actually awesome.
Yeah.
And in previous episodes, we've talked about this too, because the way that they set up and socialize these kids, gives them an opportunity to have friends for life. And with getting that sort of out of the way, they aren't having to worry about these sorts of things in the future. Yeah. So they've got their friends on lock. They can focus on their interests, their hobbies, their career, their education. And so I think it's brilliant in that way. But when you come in from the outside, you're like, you're kind of, it's not that you're stonewalled. It's not that people are unfriendly. Yeah. It's just like you're saying, like competing with existing close friends. There's only so many people that can fit in a Copenhagen apartment.
Right.
You know, like
that too.
10 people and more is like, it's not so hygge anymore, you know?
So I had somebody early on kind of explain to me, which I thought was very kind, that that part of the reason that maybe I wasn't invited to certain things. Mm-hmm. This is from somebody that was on, for context, was on a sports team that I was playing on.
Oh.
And maybe noticed that they were talking about a gathering that I was not at or invited to, which was a little awkward. Yeah. It was nice that she noticed. And she said to me, you know, most of us have like very small apartments and we can't have more than, like 8 or 10 people at the flat. And maybe that's why.
Like, so did you ever get like rotated into that?
Eventually, but I will say, like, it wasn't, I didn't feel like it was very consistent. I didn't feel, I often felt that's like sad. I was extending the invitation more, of course, because I had no,
what
you know.
What sports thing is this? I didn't know you were athletic.
This was dodgeball, yeah.
Oh, so, that's so,
so athletic,
cool.
So not a real sport.
Well, it takes a lot of agility.
Actually,
so.
The way that they play here, it does.
It's yeah,
a,
I'm so
a
sure.
whole different conversation, but if they grow up playing handball, they can really...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Handball is so silly. I love it. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think it's that they're like cold or unfriendly. It's just they prefer, partially because of necessity, having a smaller group.
Yeah, yeah.
Partially because of how they grew up with a smaller group, but also because it's harder to entertain a large group.
Yeah.
And it kind of just, you see it in the culture and 100%. How people socialize. And I do think it takes time and it takes work to make friends anywhere you go.
100%.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I think we do have to acknowledge that as much as we've made it work here, there are, you know, this survey didn't come from nowhere.
Exactly.
And it can be a challenge.
But I do always want to say
overcomable. Yeah.
It is overcomable. Exactly. I think that me coming in thinking that I would just never have friends actually really worked to my advantage. I mean, yes, it was hard and I didn't like that, but with the expectation of not having it, then it happening organically, it was really nice and like pleasant in that way. I wasn't like, why aren't these people being friends with me? You know what I'm saying? So, but I don't want to invalidate anybody's experience that is coming in, because when you come in and you're single or just need that support system, it is, a very valid human need that everybody has to have met. So I understand that struggle. And it does take a lot of patience and time, unfortunately. But I think it would anywhere, you know?
Yeah. No, definitely. And I think like we're both lucky. I'm glad that you mentioned it. Like we did not come here single. We came here with our partners. Yeah. I think it would be really tough. And I really admire the people who come here on their own.
Yeah.
And do make it work and end up thriving. And I think there's a lot of ways to do that. Luckily, if you're in maybe a university city or you're somewhere that maybe has more international people, that'll be a little bit easier to break into than groups of Danes that have known each other for years and years. But it just takes a little bit longer to do that.
Yeah.
I think culturally, you also mentioned Yentalaun, and if you haven't listened to that episode that we did, definitely go back. And if you're curious what it is or don't know, give that one a listen. But I think that's part of it too. I think there's a little bit of a feeling of, oh, why would you want to be friends with me? There's a little bit of that, like, I don't want to take up your time or attention.
Right.
And I do think that it's maybe a little bit of that understated persona that, is sort of the ethos here a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I also saw, well, culturally, what I find interesting, and I wonder if this is more of a Copenhagen thing, but, as we know, like, you're not really going to get to know your neighbors so well.
Right.
People are very private here. But I also sort of respect that in a lot of ways, because when you live in a city like Copenhagen, it can feel like such a small town sometimes. Mm. And you kind of have this... Eventually, you figure out, like, you're going to see these people all the time. So, like, you can just save your energy. You don't need to, like, stop every single time and, like, have a full-fledged conversation. You don't even have to wave sometimes, you know?
Sometimes that's nice because you're just
I am in a hurry.
I have to get on a train.
Exactly.
And I don't have time, but hi is, like, all you really have time for. And that can be nice.
I know. I do appreciate that, especially when I'm, like, with many children and I'm struggling. I'm just like, hey, or just... I see you, and that's enough.
And everybody in Jutland is spitting out their coffee as we say that Copenhagen is a small city.
Oh my God, I know.
No, but it's...
it's crazy. I do leave the house.
You do run into people.
See a lot, exactly. Though. And I think that's so cozy and I love it. And I never thought I would feel like that. But pretty much everywhere I go, I run into somebody that I know.
Yeah.
And it's very cozy, but I don't always have the time to chat, but I know I'm going to see him again.
No, definitely.
And that's so fine. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. It sometimes can be nice avoiding those sort of small talk conversations.
Yeah.
I know you'll hear that a lot from Danish people.
Yeah.
And of course, this is painting with a broad brush, right?
Not
everybody is all of these things all of the time.
Mm.
But you do hear a lot. I don't like small talk. That's not really part of our culture. And that can make it harder to... make those initial connections with people if you're not having those, small talk leads
it's
to
true.
Big talk and then big talk leads to friendship. And if you don't like small talk, it can be, it can be, it's like fishing with no bait. You know?
It's interesting because Danes say that they don't like small talk, but they do love to talk about the weather.
That's
definition of small talk to me. I don't know what,
That's the like consummate small talk is the weather and maybe... any upcoming holidays, things like that.
Yeah. What are you having for Yule?
What are you going for summer holiday? What are you having for Yule? Two kinds of potatoes.
Okay, cool. So those are good ways. Those are nice little tips to get in there with the Danes, I think. And then eventually you can say, what's your childhood trauma? I don't know. Where do you go from there?
It's tough. Like after the weather.
Where do you go from there?
Yeah. What do you do? It's... that's a good start.
Yeah, it's a good start and just feel it out and be organic. But something else that I find to be a challenge is like if I am hanging out with like a group of Danes, typically I will be the only one speaking English.
Yeah.
And I hate to make people switch over for me.
100%.
It's really weird for me to like go to events and just sort of be the only one there, like not talking to anybody. And I don't mind. I like going and I like observing and people watching and everything. And I don't expect people to cater to me. But it does make social events quite challenging if they're like strictly Danish events Have you ever been in a situation like that?
Very much. And yeah. I think even the situation I described a little bit of having played on a team with a lot of Danes yeah. and sometimes noticing that I wasn't getting these invites, I think part of it was maybe it was unconscious as yeah. well. Or
yeah.
But I don't think it was unconsciously to leave me out. But I do think some of it was the language. And yeah. that, because sometimes as the one who doesn't speak Danish mm. or even now I speak some, but I'm not very good. Can make it difficult to converse with me in yeah. Danish. I almost feel like the skunk at the garden party, like yeah. making everybody switch and kind of like you described, you feel like a burden.
Yeah.
You feel like, oh, now I'm sitting down at the table. So everybody has to like
switch to English. Sorry.
Cater to me.
Yeah.
And I do think that there's a little bit of ease in
yeah.
having it just native speakers.
Exactly. And not even native language. Yeah.
Yeah. And not even speaking, but also just understanding references and
so
culture and where different cities are and things like that.
Like, not having to like explain to everything like we're little babies.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit of that. And especially right away, you may feel that even more than after you're here a few years and we do.
Yeah.
Understand a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that makes sense. What do you think the resolution to something like that is?
I think it's tough to have like one sweeping thing that will yeah. just make it easier. But yeah. I do think there are some tips and we'll get into some of those perfect. Tips. But I think the big thing is to just have your expectations planted in yeah. reality, which is that
yeah.
the reality being, you know, part of this survey was the ability to make friends with locals.
Mm.
Well, if locals is Danes, that may be harder, but that doesn't mean you won't make friends. There are other people living in Denmark that you may become friends with.
Totally.
I think another aspect of this is also colleagues. Mm. There is a high level of collegiality and friendship in the professional workspace, but I know compared to my experience in the US, it was very much like, let's all get beers after work. Anybody want to do happy hour this Friday? Like, just kind of spontaneous.
And you don't feel like that here.
I feel like it's planned. And when it is, there's a Friday bar or a company event. Mm-hmm. And most people do attend because, you know.
It's on the calendar.
It's on the calendar. Mm-hmm. We know Danes like to plan. That can be an aspect True. That makes it more difficult too. So I think all of these things, once you kind of unlock that cultural part, mm-hmm. start to make sense that it's not you. Mm-hmm. It's a culture of really planning things. Spontaneity exists, but maybe that makes it harder to socialize if you come from a culture that's less planned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And less
yeah.
organized.
Totally. It's just, yeah, it takes a lot of years really of adapting and observing and accepting, you know, and it's just a position I never thought that I would be in, but it's fine, you know. With everything that we get in return, it's a very fair trade-off. And just like you said, you can build this community that can end up being quite international. And that's like, I have more of an international community now. People always ask me like, oh, don't you like miss the diversity of the US?
Right.
But I have a much more diverse group of friends now that I live here from all over the world than I did when I lived in, you know, like Portland, Oregon. Everybody sure. was from Portland, Oregon. And that was cool too. But yeah, I've learned so much and had so many incredible friendships and had my eyes open to so many things with the opportunity that I've had here to like really have to go outside my comfort zone.
Yeah. So, no, I agree. I think it's really nice to point that out that you have people from not just Denmark, but other places
yeah.
and leading into them because those are the people that are going to be more open to friends. They mm-hmm. don't have that network of friends that they grew up with, went to school with, and they're going to be looking for, yeah. for friends yeah. too. So one analogy that's been developed over the years that could maybe lend a little insight into sort of the social culture in Denmark compared to wherever people come from is the coconut and peach analogy.
Mm.
So this is basically the idea that your native culture might be a peach or coconut.
Mm.
It's a label that was coined by two culture experts, and I'll butcher their names, Fons Tompaz and Charles Hampton Turner. So the idea being that peach cultures are similar to like the US or Brazil. People tend to be very soft with new acquaintances. They smile frequently at strangers. They quickly move to like having a first name basis with somebody. they'll share information about themselves pretty freely, and they may even ask personal questions of people that they don't know super well.
Yeah.
But after they kind of have these first interactions, you suddenly get to like the hard shell in the center, the pit. So like the peach pit. And that's kind of like that person protecting themselves from getting into like a more serious relationship or friendship before.
What do you think an example of that would be, like a pit?
So I think that maybe the idea that you would have no problem, I do this myself, where whether you're sitting on an airplane with somebody for a long flight or maybe you are traveling and you do a food tour, like people that are from peach cultures are very comfortable making a friend that they know in advance is only going to be for like that 1 hour food tour. And you'll talk about how many kids you have, where you went to university, like what your dream job would be, things like that are maybe considered a bit more personal to somebody from a coconut culture. And then you have no problem just saying, okay, have a great trip, and
see
then leaving.
Never.
Yeah, see you never. Yeah. But you have no problem having these conversations that some people would consider a little bit more personal.
Yeah. That's so interesting.
So it kind of lends to that idea of Danes being a bit private.
Yeah.
And maybe coming from what we would call a coconut culture. So that's the idea that in Denmark and other sort of coconut cultures, people are initially more closed off from those that they don't have a friendship with already. Maybe they don't smile at strangers on the street. They don't ask casual acquaintances those personal questions. And they wouldn't really give personal information to somebody that they don't know intimately. But over time, as you get to know somebody from a coconut culture, they will gradually become friendlier and warmer, and that relationship will be built up slowly and tend to last longer. So the idea of like a coconut having a hard shell, but inside it's
the juice.
The juice and that coconut meat, I guess you call it. I don't know. Yeah.
You get that meat, a lot of meat hearty and juice relationship. Inside. Wow. Yeah. Wow. What a thing.
But yeah, I guess the inverse of like a peach. Yeah. So a peach is soft on the outside with a hard pit in the center. And then it's sort of the opposite for a coconut culture.
I feel sort of ashamed of coming from a peach culture for some reason. That hard pit sounds so like sinister.
It does. It does a little bit. Yeah. I mean, but I think, and look, I don't think anybody is 100% one thing ever.
Totally.
And I like to, you know, I think the longer that we've been here, we touched on it a bit earlier, is I like to think that I am trying to take the best things of Denmark and keep the best things, retain the best things from where I came from in the U.S. And I think, you know, everybody would love maybe a peach coconut smoothie, right?
Oh, it like, sounds delicious. Wow.
I think there, I don't think that either one is bad, but I think that that's a good descriptor of the culture clash.
Yeah, I think that's so true. That's so interesting how like yin and yang they are. Yeah. But I think it's also really interesting. I feel like our generation and younger is becoming so global, even here in Denmark with, you know, social media, the internet, everything like that. You know, even now I will get Danes around my age, you know, saying something nice about my kids or asking me where I got something. I remember even when I first moved here like 4 or 5 years ago, you know, I was with another American friend and somebody like complimented my dress and she was like, oh my gosh, that never happens. That's so crazy. But now the landscape is becoming, I feel slightly more open, but what do you think?
I think that that sounds really, really nice. I actually do miss that. And it's funny because the compliment thing kind of stuck out to me a lot of, it doesn't have to lead to any kind of conversation. It doesn't even have to be small talk, but just to tell somebody, oh, I like your bag. Yeah. Or where did you get that shirt? Like, that's a nice thing.
Yeah.
And sure, it may be that kind of thing. I've heard Danes and even people from other cultures say maybe that that's a little superficial or that's not appreciated or it doesn't seem genuine. And I'm like, no, I can tell you, like, coming from the US where that's very common, I think we're kind of brought up, like, one thing that we're kind of taught growing up is if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all.
Yeah.
And then also, like, a compliment is a nice way to, like making somebody smile is, like, one of the best things you can do in the day. You know, we're kind of raised with, like, these ideas.
Yeah.
And I think that it comes from that, like, smiles are free and, like, compliments are, I don't know.
Yeah.
like
a treasure. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah. We're like kind of raised with these ideals.
And yeah.
Yeah. Like I do miss that over, you know, eventually it's nice when that does happen organically. I don't think it's superficial.
No.
And I think like the peach thing, I think it's sometimes looked at as superficial, but to me it's,
yeah.
Not.
No, I know. And every time I can think of so many circumstances where I've been a peach, you know, in, sure. you know, circumstances where I've like, you know, been at a restaurant or an event or whatever. And I know that I might not see this person again. And I really enjoy the time that I've spent with them. And I, you know, sometimes think about them later and I'm like, cool, if I see them around, awesome. But it just maybe doesn't happen. But it doesn't mean that I wasn't like my genuine self in that moment and didn't enjoy connecting with that person and enjoy finding out information about them as well.
Yeah. I always think it's neat. Like I like making those like vacation friends or those just short, even just chatting with somebody, you know, if you're not like rushing out of the house and trying to catch a train, it can be nice having a little bit of a conversation, even if it's just pointless. It doesn't have to be about the weather. It can be about
something. Like how perfect would it be if like, you know, we have this environment where, you can like rush to a train without feeling held up. But then also if you have the time, you can like compliment your friend's new haircut, you know, and really mean it, you know, and that's nice.
Yeah. I like the best of both. I do sometimes feel a reverse culture shock when I'm back in the US or sometimes even when I'm traveling abroad and a place is a little bit more, a little bit more open and warm and somebody that I don't know starts talking to me.
Yeah. So what's your reaction to something like that?
Oh, I mean, it can really depend.
Yeah.
For example, being in, like, say, a grocery store in the U.S. and somebody starts talking to me, like, even, like, pointing at the things that I have in my shopping cart and saying, like, oh, I love these, or, oh, my son loves these. And I'm like, well, that's great.
Yeah.
Wonderful. That, we don't need to, you know, and sometimes it feels a little off-putting.
Yeah.
But then I can also remember times where I... Mike and I were watching our nephews and we took them out to dinner and they were being a little rowdy, a little loud. So of course we took them to a restaurant like where you can do that.
Cool.
And like, you know, a couple, they were a bit older. You could tell that their kids were grown. Maybe they had grandkids or something. And they came over and we're just talking to them like, oh, like, you know, so like that was really nice. And I'm not saying that that wouldn't happen here, but it was nice to have that interaction. And maybe they could tell that we were a little bit uneasy with how the kids were behaving. And that really put me at ease to be like, oh, okay, they're enjoying.
they're
enjoying seeing us.
What's so interesting, they're enjoying, we're not a nuisance. What's interesting is that, you know, Denmark does have this perception of not being so warm or not making small talk or what. But I also wonder how much of that is attributed to like, maybe just not understanding what people are saying. Because I remember when I first moved here, old ladies would like say things to me a lot. And I'd sometimes I'd just be like, haha, or, you know, ask them to repeat themselves in English. And it'd usually be something like, you have a beautiful family. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, actually really nice, random things. And so I wonder how much people are getting, but not realizing that they're getting. But now that I'm like understanding more Danish, I'm like, oh, that's so nice. You know, of course, I was just going to give an example of an old woman bringing up how bad the weather was, of course, but
and that's and I think that that kind of thing does happen where maybe you're waiting for that train and it's late and people kind of look at each other and like, you know, you kind of feel, you do feel like you're in it together, even with strangers, or maybe they do talk about the weather and we need our umbrellas today, you know, and that can be, that can really make your day different. Like it can add something to your day and lift you up a little bit.
Totally.
So that is nice.
Yeah,
and once you understand Danish, like,
oh my gosh, it helps so much. And I feel like I still have very much just like a base level of understanding Danish. So that would be a really good tip to, you know, just get in there, get on that Danish. It's something that I, you know, I give myself a hard time about not learning it right away, but you know, I had a 9-month old. Then it was COVID and then I had another baby, but you know what, just do the best you can. If you can learn Danish, it's going to help.
It
so
definitely
much,
unlocks,
you know, it's going to make you feel cozier, you know, it's fun.
And you know what's going on around you.
That is helpful.
Which is, in the beginning, you often feel like you're just getting told off all the time. So
that is rough. Yeah. I feel like, there's definitely like a high volume of typically older women who are going to tell you how things are done in society. And a lot of times it's actually right, but sometimes I think it can be a bit much. But yeah, learning the rules. What are some examples of some like societal rules that you would feel would be helpful when you first moved here?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of little things that are like written or unwritten.
Yeah.
And you don't always know whether it's just like, you can only have, maybe you go through this if you take public transportation, mm-hmm. but like you can only have two strollers or prams yeah. on a bus at one time. Ooh. Not everybody knows that.
Yeah.
But somebody yeah. will tell you if you're...
I still try to cram on there, but they're like, nice try.
Yeah.
That's rough. Yeah, something... It's other societal rules. I feel like it has a lot to do with kids and babies because something that I was told a lot, get a hat on your baby, get some socks on your baby. Don't leave the house without a hat and socks on your baby.
Yeah.
What else is there? A lot of... With biking, of course.
Sure. Yeah.
So much with biking. And it's really... You know, people... still say, I can't believe you're able to bike in Copenhagen. It's really not so bad. I just like stay to the right.
Yeah.
Be sure to use my signals, keep my lights on.
We hear that bell, you just kind of
yeah.
keep going.
Something that's really funny slowly. Is that like, you know, in the US you wouldn't use a horn or a bell unless like you were upset with somebody or something yeah. was about to happen. But apparently the societal rule here is like, if you're just like about to pass somebody or coming up beside someone and they think they don't see you, you're supposed to use the bell. So all the time my husband would be like, oh my God, like I'm not doing anything wrong, I promise. But I'm yes. like, no, they're just like letting you know that they're by you and just to make sure you don't like swerve all over.
It's like an awareness bell, not a problem bell. But yeah, exactly. It can feel like you're getting bells rung at you.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, when you think about it, most Danish bike bells are, you know, like a pleasant little ding. So I'm like, oh, hey, you know, I've taken it as like a little safety measure and I appreciate it.
It's like a little hello, a little yeah. ride by greeting.
Yeah, it's yeah. Like a ride by greeting. I love it.
Yeah. But I think in some ways, you know, living here, coming from a peach society, has made me a little more coconut.
Yeah,
but not
sure.
not in a bad way. And I like I kind of like going back and forth between
yeah,
the two.
You can really like code yeah. switch.
Well, I think that's a good place to wrap things up for now. But we will come back and finish this conversation next week. We've got some listener advice and some tips that we can get to.
Yeah, I'm excited to share some tips on how to make Danish friends with you guys in the next episode.
Yeah, so thanks for listening and watching, and we'll be back in your feed next week.
Yeah, be safe.
Hi, hi.